This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Our candidate for this afternoon, Professor Sibiya. Professor Sibiya is currently the acting vice chancellor and principal. She holds a substantive position of DVC Research, Innovation and Engagement. Of course, she joined us in September 2022. And prior to that, Prof. Sibiya held the post of DVC Teaching and Learning at DUT for just over 2 years. And of course, prior to that, she was the Executive Dean at the Durban University of Technology, which position she held for just over 3 years. And prior to that, she was the Head of Department at the Durban University of Technology. And of course, Prof. started her academic career long before joining the Durban University of Technology. She was lecturing at the Prince Mosheni Nursing College as well. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to take too much of your time. I want you to give a big round of applause for our candidate, Professor Sibiya. I'm going to now hand you over to our administrator, who was the chairperson of the selection committee, Professor Van Staden, and he's going to facilitate the presentation and the discussions thereafter. Prof, it's over to you. I hope you can hear me.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for your time and dedication to be part of this very key process to appoint a vice-chancellor and principal for the Mangosuthu University of Technology. First of all, I just need to recognize some of our esteemed panelists who assist us in this process. I would like to start with Professor Toko Manyekiso, the Vice Chancellor and Principal of the University of Mpumalanga, Professor Andrew Crouch, Vice Chancellor and Principal of the Soplaiki University, Professor Pierre Hubert, Senior Research Professor of UNISA, Dr. Tandi Ngwebi, Senior Executive of the National Research Foundation, members of the administrator's technical team, recognized labor, Nahabu and Tunesa, members of the Institutional Forum, members of Senate, members of Convocation, members of the Student Representative Council, and then very important behind the scenes, the acting head of HR Babu and his team. And last but not the least, Ms. Moretle Mokwele, one of my technical team members who worked day and night to make this whole process a success. Before we continue with the process, I think it's important to conceptualize the process and the mandate of the administrator in appointing a vice-chancellor and principal for MUT. I first of all very briefly would like you to take note of the administrator took over the role, powers and functions of the Mangosuthu University of Technology. The administrator must identify and initiate processes and initiatives that will restore proper governance and management at the university. And then thirdly, take responsibility for the appointment and for the filling of senior level positions, including that of the vice chancellor and principal of MUT. On top of that, we all have to observe the statute of the university, the MUT recruitment and selection policy, MUT rules of appointment of senior management. So those are some of the imperatives that we had to adhere to in order to make an appointment of vice chancellor and principal of the university. Very soon, the administrator will follow the legal prescripts to fill all the other senior vacancies at the university. I'm very delighted this morning to introduce to you Professor Sabia. She applied for the position and she's currently a candidate. So without further delay, I would like to present Professor Sabia to you so that she can address us according to the MUT rules of appointment of senior management. Thank you, colleagues. I am done, Babu.
Okay, thank you very much, Prof. We'll now get Prof. Sibia to do her presentation.
The chair of the panel, panel members, esteemed guests, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. I am presenting the topic that was given to me that talks to the role that I will play if appointed as the Vice Chancellor in driving innovation and excellence at MUT for its academic and financial sustainability. And I will also share my meaningful contribution to socioeconomic development in the country. Before I get into the core business of my presentation, which will focus on the strategies, I will touch briefly on national and global context, mandates of the South African public universities, and then I'll briefly paint a picture based on my observation on MUT profile. Then I will get to the strategies, and lastly, I will share my philosophy of leadership and vision of MUT. In order to provide the national, regional, and global contexts, these are the documents that are, these are the reference documents that I read when I was preparing for this presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, according to the National Plan for Higher Education 2021, the mandate of the university is to supply the economy with appropriate scarce and critical skills. So as MUT, we have a responsibility of ensuring that the programs that we offer are the programs that address the needs of the country. Besides that, we also have a responsibility of contributing to research and development of new technology. Unfortunately, it's not all students that will graduate on record time. According to the latest statistics on PSET, only 17% of university undergraduate students graduate in record time, 22.8 masters, as well as 14.5 doctoral graduates. As you note on these statistics, that would mean, these are national statistics, this would mean then that our mandate as universities is compromised. According to the decadal plan of 2022, it identifies science, innovation, and technology as primary drivers of economic growth, job creation, and socioeconomic reform. And this is supported by Agenda 2063, the Africa we want, which also puts emphasis on well-educated citizens and skills revolutions underpinned by STI. Colleagues, we have a responsibility as MUT of addressing the six pillars of the UOT. And if ever we fail to respond to any of these six pillars, then we will not be able to address the mandate as expected of us as a university of technology. I am not going to read line by line the mission, vision, and strategic goals, but what I want to highlight is that when you look at these, they also put emphasis on sustainability as well as excellence. So we have a responsibility of ensuring that whatever we do, even our values, one of the values talks to excellence. Now, when I talk to the MUT profile, I want to link it with the once famous movie, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Now, when looking at the good of MUT, it is its strategic location, which is the only university that is located in a township in the south of Durban. Fortunately, as the candidate for this position, I did experience the challenges related to social economic life of a township, because I did my basic education from grade 1 to grade 12. It was first year until standard 10 back then. And again, one of the good, the strategic good about MUT is that according to our anchor strategy, it puts emphasis on rising with the Umlazi community. It puts emphasis that whatever that we do, we need to ensure that we contribute to Umlazi community. But besides that, we also need to work hand in hand with the neighboring industries that we use mainly for placement of our students. Now, when looking at the bed of MUT, as you are well aware, it has grappled throughout its history with the substantial challenges related to governance, maladministration, and corruption. As colleagues, you are aware, MUT, since 1994, has had four assessors that were appointed by the Minister of Higher Education and Training, and we have been placed under administration on two occasions. Then the question that remains are, why has the university not been able to implement the recommendations? Because when looking at all the assessors' reports, at the end, they come up with recommendations. Currently, we are under administration, and that clearly shows that we have not addressed the recommendations of the assessors. Secondly, the question is, what is it that you need to do in order to turn around the university? The common challenges, when looking at all the four assessors' reports, they identify lack of proper and effective governance, inadequate leadership and management capacity, divisive and unhealthy institutional culture, weak policies and inconsistent implementation of procedures. Maybe I could add that it's not only weak. Some of the policies are absent at MUT. Some are very old. They have not been reviewed for a while. Lack of clarity around the academic identity. We do have an academic identity document, which was published some years back. And this identity document, it puts emphasis on MUT as the teaching university, which is a challenge on its own. But I will talk to that a bit later. Now, all these challenges that I have highlighted, they have resulted in compromised financial position and compromised academic projects that the university currently finds itself in. We are, ladies and gentlemen, we have a financial crisis at MUT. In 2024, we have a deficit of 27 million. And this is basically related to low tuition fee increase, as well as capping of accommodation fees by NSFAS, which in effect resulted in MUT having to reduce its student accommodation fees. Now, when looking at the total reserve sustainability ratio, we're currently sitting at 0.83, and the council-controlled unrestricted reserve ratio is 0.62. And it's a trend that for a viable university, the ratio must be above one. And what does this mean, ladies and gentlemen? It means that we cannot carry out our operations over an extended period without relying on DHET for block grant subsidy. The second one is that, as I indicated, our academic project is compromised. Ladies and gentlemen, last year we undertook the CHE institutional audit, and when we received the report, it was a damning report with 49 recommendations. I must indicate that I serve in the Higher Education Quality Committee, so I have access to all the reports from 26 universities as well as private institutions. For now, MUT is the only institution that has received 49 recommendations, and that clearly indicates that our academic project, which is our core business, is compromised. Now, before I get to the strategies, colleagues, let me remind you about the roles and responsibilities of the Vice Chancellor. The Vice Chancellor reports to Council on Management and Administration Issues. Again, the Vice Chancellor does not sit in her office. He or she has to go out and represent the university on all international collaborations. And as the chair of the EMC, she has a responsibility of reporting to Council on Management Issues. The Vice Chancellor also has a responsibility of reporting to external and internal stakeholders on decision. And again, she is responsible for signing of contracts. And lastly, the EMC, she has a responsibility of crafting the strategic planning for reporting at Council for approval. And again, the Vice Chancellor has to report on the achievements on strategic goals and objectives. Now, coming to the strategies that I will put in place to ensure financial sustainability and academic sustainability. Colleagues, I want to remind you that when you look at the reports that we have received from the assessors, they indicate that in May 2018, the minister had a meeting with council, and that is where he recommended the establishment of the multidisciplinary task team. And the role of this team, MDTT, I will refer to it as MDTT, it is to provide technical support to MUT management. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to indicate that as I was browsing through the documents, I discovered that MUT has not responded to the call or to the recommendation or the proposal by the minister. And I take that as insubordination. So if I get appointed as the Vice Chancellor, this will be my main focus. I will use the multi-stakeholder approach guided by the quintuple helix model in order to ensure a transition to sustainable financial and academic projects. Colleagues, I'm sure you are aware that previously we had triple helix. Later, it was followed by quadruple helix, a triple helix focusing on government, university, and industry. And then at a later stage, the fourth element was added of community represented by civil society. And now we talk about quintuple helix, which incorporates the environment, because we cannot survive as MUT. Remember, we have real estate, we have infrastructure that we need to take care of in order to complete our business. So this is the model that I will use to ensure sustainable financial and academic projects. Now, when looking at the quintuple helix, it puts emphasis on 6 subsystems to ensure sustainability through innovation, which is governance. In this case, it will be council, education and research, economy, environment, information and communication, civil society. So I will ensure that there is continuous engagement of these subsystems so that there is knowledge circulation that will result in knowledge inputs and knowledge outputs. And it's the outputs that I will use as the Vice Chancellor to come up with strategies to address financial or to ensure financial and academic sustainability. I must indicate that, colleagues, I believe in shared responsibility. Hence, I will use the quadruple helix so as to get input from all the key stakeholders. Chair of the panel, I must indicate that MUT cannot survive on its own. Solo approach, it will not work for us because we belong to the country, Africa, and the knowledge production, we need to bridge the gap of the knowledge production and dissemination so that we contribute to the globalization of knowledge, because at the end, we want to ensure that our products are competitive at global level. These are our graduates. Chair and panel, I want to indicate that much as we have not formalized the establishment of the MDTT, I must indicate that there's a lot that MUT has achieved. We have signed quite a number of multiple MOUs with universities, industry partners, research partners at national and international level, which is one of the recommendations by the four reports. Last year, we launched what we call Inguyazana, which is an isiZulu term meaning family in-house meeting, where we are collaborating with our external key stakeholders so as to ensure that we implement the NCA strategy successfully. And we've already identified some projects that we are going to implement as from 2024 moving forward in order to ensure that we benefit the Umlazi community, which ultimately will contribute to the improved socioeconomic status of the country. I also have the flagship programs, which are Women in Climate Change, which was launched in May last year when we were celebrating 2063 Africa 2063. And again, recently on the first week of July, we successfully hosted an international summit on energy, water, food, and climate, which we did in collaboration with FAMU, the Florida University, the Florida Agricultural and Mechanical University in FAMU, which came about as a result of the visit that we made last year, where we visited quite a number of universities. And fortunately, at our summit, we had the Premier's office represented, and we had about three MECs, and they committed that they will fund 11 students from the 11 districts of KZN to attend the online FAMU program on energy, water, food, and climate. And we are in the process of establishing a steering committee that will ensure the establishment of the MUT Center of Excellence for Energy, Water, Food, and Climate, which is the main goal of the summit that we hosted in July. And the theme was What We Want is Possible. It was attended by more than 600 delegates, more than 200 learners. By the way, it was during the holidays. It shows the commitment. It shows the kind of relationship that we have with our community. And we had a session, Why Hack, where students, where we had engagements with our learners, and they came up with quite a number of prototypes guided by the design thinking, because the focus is to ensure that we actively involve the young ones in addressing issues that we're grappling with related to energy, water, food, and climate. And it was a wow moment when we received the Leaders Award at this conference. And I was one of the recipients of these awards. Now, the MUT motto, colleagues, is shape and own the future. And chair and panel members, I want to say there is ample room for MUT to prepare, shape, and own its future. If you ask me about my short-term goals, it will be to ensure that I put in place governance, systems, and processes, and I will improve the financial muscle, revive the academic program, and again, put emphasis on digital transformation with the results, net effects for sustainable development. And again, the emphasis will be on SDG goal number 17, which focuses on partnerships. Now, the strategies that I will put in place to address or to ensure financial and academic sustainability, in consultation or in collaboration with council, we will fast track the process of filling up the senior management positions. And again, we will, alongside that, we will continue with the process of organizational review to support the implementation of the five-year plan, development plan, and the new strategy. Colleagues, as you are aware, that the administrator has a mandate from the minister to develop a five-year development plan. And as management, we have to implement that financial plan. So we'll dovetail the two as we are in the process of developing a new strategy. And I've spoken about the MDTT. Again, we will continue with the analysis of MUT's PQM and review the fee structure of qualification. As I indicated in my previous slide, that it has contributed slightly to the compromised financial muscle at MUT. Again, I will ensure that we implement the resolution of council that dates way back of implementing PMS. I commit, if ever I get appointed, that we will begin to pilot a performance management system before the end of this year in grades 1 to 4, and it will be fully fledged implementation in 2025. Again, in order for us to enhance or strengthen our academic project, we require staff members or academic staff members who have the required or the requisite qualifications. So I will ensure that all academic staff members has masters as a minimum qualification and improve the qualifications of staff members with a doctorate. And this will contribute to the improved research output. And of course, I still carry my mandate. When I got appointed as the DVC-RIE, I did indicate that my goal is to ensure the establishment of the Entrepreneurship Center at MUT. I did, with my team, develop a proposal which has served up to the administrator's level, and we are just addressing some of the gaps in the proposal. Now, ladies and gentlemen, to foster loyalty, innovation, and creativity, I will adopt transformational leadership. There are quite a number of leadership styles, but based on the magnitude of the challenges that I have shared with you, I believe that MUT requires a total overhaul. So the best suitable leadership style will be transformational leadership, which entails motivating teams while achieving goals through inspiring, managing, building culture, leading to ensure holistic leadership, and of course guided by the key competencies of strategic decision-making, empathetic communication, innovative thinking, emotional intelligence, resilient leadership, and team empowerment. And in order for me to be the leader that MUT community look up to in terms of providing the strategic direction, I do commit that I will be transparent, I'll be loyal, I'll be authentic, I will be reliable in order to build trust amongst MUT community. Chair of panel, I believe that MUT requires an all-round vice chancellor. So I want to indicate that I bring a wealth of experience when it comes to leadership, teaching and learning as the former DVC teaching and learning, research, current DVC RIE, as well as innovation and engagement. And those that have a privilege of looking at my CV, you have seen how many awards at not only local, but also at national that I have received. And I'm sharing with you my profile and strategic fitness for this position. I am not going to go through this in the interest of time, but just to give highlights, the Helm Women in Leadership Program, I was selected to be part of the 30 senior women academics who were selected in 2020-21 in order to address the gap of women VCs in the country. As you know, currently we only have 6 women VCs out of 26 public universities. Again, last year I received an award from EDHE for the rising DVC when it comes to entrepreneurship, and it confirms my passion for entrepreneurship, which is going to assist in addressing the high rate of unemployment amongst our graduates. And again, the awards that I received at national level is from the Minister of the Department of DSI as a South African woman scientist in humanities and social sciences, as well as the Senior Researcher Year Award, and the award that I recently received from the International Nexus. The philosophy of leadership, I borrow from Phil Jackson, who says, the strength of the team is each individual member. The strength of each member is the team. I did indicate that I believe in shared responsibility. I believe that the VC cannot address all the issues, all the challenges that I have raised, but we all need to join our hands in tackling those challenges. Miles Monroe once said, people generally fall into one of the three groups: the few who make things happen, the many who watch things happen, and the overwhelmingly majority who have no notion of what happens. Chair of the panel, I want to commit that if ever I get appointed as the Vice Chancellor and Principal, I commit that I will ensure that MUT community stop waiting for things to happen and that they step out of their comfort zone so that they make things happen. And then my last slide is on my vision of MUT. My vision of the sustainable MUT is to be an academic excellent university in transformative and innovative education, guided by national and global imperatives, underpinned by a strong commitment to socially responsive education. I thank you.
Thank you, Prof. We will just connect the line, sound line on the Teams so that we can get Prof. Van Staden online again. On to the questions. Prof. Van Staden, can you hear us? All right, we'll take some questions from the floor now. Colleagues, anyone that has a question for Prof. Farag, we've got a roving mic. If you can just introduce yourself and then we'll take your question.
Thank you. It's Dr. Boapua from engineering. Prof. Sibiya, thank you for the presentation. I'm quite impressed by the presentation, knowing the caliber of the person you are. And I'm sure, Prof, you know MUT for the last few years that you've been here. You know the kitchen and the bedroom. You know the beauty, the bad, the ugly, as you've presented. Prof, I know you have so much energy and you have so much ambitions to see this university moving. And I've seen one of the slides saying you want to see the minimum requirement for academic staff to be a master's and obviously going toward doctorate. But I also believe that if we expect the staff to have that level, we need also to see our programs to go to a certain level. Because for me, I understand that you can't expect an academic staff to have a PhD teaching a diploma student. At a certain time, that staff will leave. He will go to other universities where he can have a chance to be exposed to the postgraduate studies. Now, Prof, what could be your support in implementing in a very short time senior programs? We really want to see this happening. We've been singing the same song for years, and we've lost a lot of academic staffs qualified who could have taken us from where we are today to the highest level. Now, my small following question is also, you've spoken about the lack of academic identity. Prof, we don't have, first of all, the academic culture. I believe that we need to establish an academic culture that will talk to the academic identity. How are you going to support this in order to see a true establishment of an academic identity from a clear academic culture at MUT? And my last question, sorry, sir, the last. Prof, can we say that with Prof. Sibiya, it will be the new beginning, or it will be a continuity toward higher levels, or it will be just a continuity? Thank you.
You just want to repeat that last question?
I was saying, Prof, can we expect that with Prof. Sibiya, it will be a new beginning for MUT, or it will be a continuity toward high levels, or just continuity to maintain the university as it is?
Okay. Thank you very much. Three questions. Prof, you want to take those three and then we'll take other questions. I've noted somebody on the side. I've noted you as well. Thanks.
I think because Doc had quite a number of questions before I lose track, let me respond to the questions that he asked. Colleagues, I did indicate, or during the introduction, it was mentioned that at some point I was the Deputy Vice Chancellor Teaching and Learning, and I led that academic project successfully. Those that had a chance of looking at my CV, you did notice that 100% of our programs where I was, they were all aligned, undergraduate program, postgraduate program, they were aligned with HEQSF. The major challenge, Doc, that that we have at MUT is that MUT all along, or even now, it's known as a teaching university. Ladies and gentlemen, if ever we want to remain, whatever that it means, I do not know what it means. Because all I know is that a UOT, I did show you the pillars, the six pillars of a UOT. If ever we decide to focus only on teaching and learning, then we are not fit to be a university of technology. So we need to stop moving laterally. We now need to begin to move horizontally when it comes to calculating our academic programs. I must indicate that currently the major challenge that we are faced with is that whenever we submit, we make our submissions to DHET and CHE, mainly to DHET, for PQM clearance, our submissions are not receiving the attention that they deserve. And we get one and the same response that we will not look at your submissions until you have your house clean, until you have effective leadership for the academic project. Hence, in my strategies, I did indicate that with council, we will fast track filling up of the positions. Colleagues, we cannot have a sustainable academic project if ever HODs are acting, if ever all the three deans are acting, if ever the DVC Teaching and Learning is acting. I know when you're appointed in an acting position, you take full responsibility. I'm currently acting as the Vice Chancellor and I take full responsibility. But colleagues, we need stability in order to ensure that we work towards ensuring a sustainable academic project. So we need people appointed in their substantive positions. So I agree with you. We will keep losing staff members because staff members have got aspirations. They want to be promoted, and in order for you to be promoted, you know our academic promotions policy. It focuses mainly on research output. So the reason why we lose so many staff members, we lose even people who have been rated. They go to other universities because there are no postgraduate students to supervise here. Right? In part of the criteria that you have to meet in order for you to be promoted is that you need to have XYZ number of postgrad students that you have supervised. Although those that have attended my workshops here, they know. I always say we cannot fold our arms and do nothing. Let's go out and find postgrad students to supervise, especially those that are rated. I am rated. Rated for the second time. I aspire to get a rating for the third time. So I will lose my NRF rating if ever I sit and relax and wait for natural sciences to calculate for a doctoral program. So we have a responsibility. That's why I spoke about the quadruple helix, the quintuple helix. Part of that is collaboration, partnership. Let's go out and find students in other universities and supervise whilst we are busy working on getting accreditation for our programs. Again, maybe it's an opportunity also to talk about qualifications of staff members. Colleagues, we are not doing very good when it comes to qualifications, meeting the CHE rule of having masters as a minimum qualification. Last year, I put pressure on my predecessor. Hence, in December, we had a meeting with all staff members who do not have masters. And to my shock, because it impacts on also on my performance as the DVC-RIE, because most of the output, research output, it's generated by people who have got masters and PhD. And we identified 40 staff members who do not have a master's qualification. Unfortunately, colleagues, it cannot be business as usual. You do not have a master's qualification, you do not belong here. You can say whatever, colleagues, but it is, we have to comply with the CHE rules. The mandate from council, it dates back to 2009. So you had all the time of improving your qualifications until now. And I do commit that I'll have a follow-up meeting, because the last meeting that we had was in December. And there are people amongst academic staff members who committed that by June they would have graduated. So I commit that I will have a follow-up meeting with those colleagues and check if ever they have attained their master's qualification. Now, coming to the academic culture, that talks to the academic identity. First things first, Doc. We need to revisit our academic identity that puts emphasis on MUT as a teaching university. It's a very old document. Yes, there are good things in that academic document. Last year, those that were at the summit, the administrator's summit, when I did my presentation, I did talk to this, that we need to review that academic identity so that it fits snugly with the prescripts of a UOT. I'm sure colleagues were aware that DHET, was it last year? No, I was still on the other side. I think it was 2020 or 2021 when we received a document. And as universities, we're expected to submit our comments, which now talks about recategorization of universities. And now when looking at the criteria of universities, we are not fit to be a UOT because of the issues that I have just raised. So we need to put in an effort so that we retain our status as a UOT. That we will do by revisiting our academic identity so that it addresses the academic culture that Doc is referring to. Now, the last one, I think it was a comment, or maybe you would want to have my input, new being or new me. I want to say, when I joined MUT, some of the people who know me from my previous life, they said, Prof, take it slowly. You will get tired. This is MUT. You are too fast for MUT. The energy. I said, watch the space. There is no way I will lower my energy. In fact, I will put double the effort. So I want to assure you that what you see is what you will get, because I don't sit on my laurel. And again, as I indicated, I want all of us to move together. That's why the leadership style that I will use, that I will adopt, is mainly transformational leadership, so that we all move along. We all contribute to the total overhaul of MUT. Thank you.
Thank you, Prof. All right, we'll take a few more questions, and then we'll give Prof a chance to answer all those questions. And then we would also look at if there's any questions from our colleagues online. I see there's some comments coming through. I'm not sure if it's questions that's being put on in the chat there. So Manla, if you can just check that out for me. All right, we're going to go to you. I've not recognized you. Your name and your question for Prof.
Morning, colleagues. Oh, it's afternoon. Afternoon, colleagues. Oh, my name is Sibusiso Shabalala, from the Office of the Dean, Faculty of Natural Sciences. So I have three questions. The first one, directed to you, Prof. Sibiya. Will you somehow acquire more property assets for the varsity to improve MUT's balance sheet? For example, having a postgraduate building, say, in Mhlanga or in any other elite areas, to raise MUT level, because it's so, I'll put it like this, it looks very awkward. You attend in MUT, being an undergraduate, postgraduate, same buildings, it doesn't reflect well to me. Second question is, how will you address the problems we have in our faculty in terms of acquiring a farm so that students can do practicals weekly. What is so difficult for a public institution like MUT to request a farm from government or surrounding companies to fund it so that you could move agriculture, community extension department, nature conservation department to that particular farm, and you can generate third stream income from that farm? Third question is, how can we be sure, in my case, that budgets will be allocated in time? Especially the past 2 years, no equipment, no maintenance was carried out, but these same programs that I've mentioned were graduating students. Expensive equipment like the one that we have, ICP worth 1 million, has been redundant for the past 10 years. No savings carried out. The excuse, no budget. Why are we then registering students if there's no budget to do practicals? What are we saying? So these are some of the questions that I wanted to ask you on how you will tackle them. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. We're going to take more questions. I see a hand there at the back.
Good morning. I'm Titi Poswa. I have three questions for you, Prof. The first question, what plan are you having to decentralize and making faculties be functional? Because we have a good structure that we could use, but at this moment, they are not functional as they ought to be. Number two, how do you intend balancing the support and the academic units within the university? Because there's a lot of imbalance between the two. And that is straining the functionality, and it's a drop, it's a setback. Number three and last one, how do you intend using the old experienced generation and the new inspired generations to your advantage to advance your vision within MUT? Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Poswa. All right. We'll take more questions. Anybody else? All right. I see there's a hand there. You first, and then you say the last one there.
Thank you so much. My name is Dalasile Thobisa, the SRC president. Prof, I think you mentioned that the university is in a financial crisis. I want us to respond on that, Prof, with your contribution. I think if we can be specific in terms of the student debt, maybe, Prof, I'm interested to know maybe how can you respond according to your capacity responding to the issue of student debt. Thank you so much. I'm covered on some questions, but there's this only question I had now. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much. Right, I saw a hand there at the back.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Kama Usandile, Wadlamini Sbong. Prof. One should first acknowledge your presentation. It was a good one. Tapavo has covered me on the other two questions. The one that is left for me is the one I saw in your presentation that you made a mention of how much we don't have reserves as the institution. My major concern is that how you intend to go about in ensuring that we require as much that stream income as possible, understanding the situation that our institution is in. Thank you.
Thanks. Any other questions from the floor? No? All right. There's one right here in the front. Dr. Lekena. All right. We'll take that as the last question, and we'll just check if anybody online has any questions. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair. Prof, thank you very much for a very beautiful presentation. You come highly decorated. You come highly energetic. We have a lot of hope. I've got two questions. I know this is an academic institution, and of course the main project is the academic project. And the support staff, which I'm proudly one of them, we have to support the academic project, and we happily want to do so. My question is around, we have alluded to issues of retaining of our staff, especially academic staff. But I'm also super concerned about retention of support staff. Because for the support divisions to be very supportive, we've got to have capable staff that are capacitated. And my experience in the past 3 years that I've been here is that staff come in, they get trained on the job, especially for some areas like the division I work for, which we can't get any graduate from anywhere who has done what is supposed to be done in that unit. Once they are properly trained, other universities poach them, and we are left struggling. Right now, in my division specifically, we are struggling. How are we going to ensure that we retain our staff? We grow our own timber and retain our own staff. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Prof. It's over to you.
Thank you so much, colleagues. Let me go back. Yes, Mshengu. Around growing MUT. Question on property, growing of property at MUT. I'm sure colleagues are aware that MUT is in the process of acquiring extra space at Nduduzweni. And if all goes well, we are in the last stages of acquiring that space. That space then will have to develop an implementation plan as to how would effectively use that space. But before I talk about Nduduzweni, colleagues, I want to indicate that now and again, we often talk about lack of space at MUT. I've had the opportunity of doing the walkabout. And part of my meet and greet, it included visiting some units. I had an opportunity of visiting TSC, which fortunately reports directly to me as the Deputy Vice Chancellor, Research, Innovation and Engagement. And I was shocked to identify the space that is lying idle next to TSC. And when I asked the director, although it's not part of TSC, but I identified a lot of good space there, even garages there that could be used for something else. There are houses, I do not know what they were meant for, but they are lying idle. They are not used effectively. My plan is to visit this dining hall. That again is very large space that is not used. That needs to be fixed. We are short of theater lecture rooms at MUT. So that dining hall that is not being used could actually be renovated and used as a teaching space. So there are plans to ensure that I do the analysis, I do the walkabout, besides acquiring extra space and look at what we have that is not used effectively. And I did indicate that the quintuple helix model that I would use, the fifth element there is environment, which addresses issues related to space, infrastructure, maintenance, real estate, and so forth. So that is on top of my agenda. Again, at one of the Senate meeting, we had deans mentioning that there are corridors that are dark, so which compromise teaching and learning. You know, those are the issues that we would look into. And then the issue of the farm. I must indicate that there has been a submission that came to EMC, and again, this was brought to the attention of the administrator. Colleagues, we need to be realistic. We are at a university that has a deficit of 27 million. Yes, the farm, we need the farm, but there are critical issues, again, that we need to address. I'm not saying we do not need the farm, but there are critical issues that we need to address before we look at purchasing a farm, because it would mean moving out the entire faculty of, as we've rightfully indicated, of the Faculty of Natural Sciences. So, yes, once we've addressed all the deficits that we have and we have our budget in order, then we will definitely consider the issue of a farm, which is quite critical because work-integrated learning is quite important. You mentioned that there are departments with outdated equipments that are not working. And again, colleagues, some of our programs are regulated by professional boards. I know that there is a department that has challenges with HPCSA, and we are busy working on that one. So it cannot be business as usual, because as I indicated, at the end, we want to produce graduates who are competitive, not only at national level, but also at global level. So how then do we produce those graduates if ever we produce graduates that have never received any exposure, work-integrated learning? So, but fortunately, we have, as I indicated, one of the reasons why DHET is not considering our submissions, it's because they say until you have effective leadership. So once we have the DVC teaching and learning, and again, the performance management system, it will be one of the KPIs, and we'll set targets for the DVC teaching and learning. There are targets that the DVC teaching and learning will have to meet with his deans and HODs. Coming to Dr. Poswa, decentralizing faculties. I'm not sure what it means by decentralizing faculties. I thought we were going to talk about growing our faculties. Because again, when looking at that document, it clearly specifies the number of faculties that a university must have. So we need to grow our faculties. Yes, we do have infrastructural challenges, but we have to grow our faculties. And I have had discussions with the former acting DVC Teaching and Learning and the former Dean of Natural Sciences. As a person that come from health sciences, by the way, I'm a nurse by profession, so I do have an interest on growing or introducing more health programs at MUT. I even saw the idea that we could even start by having a school, just a school of health sciences, and then grow the academic programs. Then once it's fully fleshed, we may end up having a faculty of health sciences. But let's keep dreaming. You know, we start by dreaming, and some of the dreams may be realized. Making the faculties functional, again, we'd need to unpack that, because if they are not functional, then there's something wrong. Maybe, again, it points to lack of leadership, that everybody is acting in our academic project, starting from HODs, the deans, and the DVC. So I believe that once we appoint the right people, my former boss used to talk where I was before. He used to talk about having right people in the right bus, in the right seat. So I would definitely ensure that we have the right people so that we have fully functional leadership. Again, balancing support and academic staff, there are norms that are set by DHET, and we have to comply with those norms of the ratio of staff and support staff. So definitely with HR, would look into that. New balancing old and new generation to advance MUT. Maybe I believe in growing our own timber. With continuous engagements, we will ensure that we retain our staff members. Again, maybe I will combine it with the question that was asked by Dr. Legena of then how do we ensure that we retain these new and old staff members so as to balance the existence of the staff members at MUT. I believe in growing our own timber. But as I indicated, other universities are drooling. They're salivating over our staff members. We support them. They get their doctoral qualifications. They leave. We support them. They get rated and then they leave. So we would need to look into that and also look into develop a talent management policy so that we retain our staff. The question that was asked about by SRC president, a very good question on student debt. Fortunately, more than, I would say 80%, if not above, of our students are NSFAS funded. Yes, we do have students who are owing us, and part of the financial sustainability is to ensure that you pay for the services that we offer to you as students. So we'll definitely come hard on those students who are owing the university in order to ensure financial sustainability. But as I've indicated, the majority of our students are NSFAS funded. And then the question by Mr. Dlamini, contributions to financial sustainability. Colleagues, I must indicate that in most cases, the public universities, they rely on the state, on government or DHET for funding. And colleagues, we have experienced huge budget cuts. Yesterday, I attended a workshop by NRF where it was reported that this year they had budget cuts of more than 10 billion. So it cannot be business as usual. We also need to put in an effort of ensuring that we raise our own funds. Through third stream income, we do have a policy, and we are in the policy of getting approval of our short course policy. And we have the institutional advancement, and the executive director in charge there has a responsibility. One of the mandates of AI is to raise funds for the university. But colleagues, because we do not have the performance management system, we cannot hold people accountable. Yes, we do, because you sign a contract when you come in, right? But we will set targets for AI so that they raise funds. Another major challenge that we have at MUT is that we do not have convocation. Alumni, the role that is played by alumni in supporting financially the university, it's amazing. So I can confirm that we are in the process of having our AGM, of setting up the AGM for the university, as well as elections, so that we have a fully functional convocation that will contribute to the financial sustainability of the university. But besides that, colleagues, efficiency is very important. We all have a responsibility to play in contributing. You know, printing a paper when there is no need, why print? So we need awareness activities, awareness events on efficiency so that we maximize the little resources that we have. Thank you. I'm about to sit. And then the last one from Dr. Legena, I have already addressed the issue of retaining staff members and the goods and addressing cuts. As I indicated, colleagues, with HR, we'll have to develop a policy on talent management so that which will include the retaining of staff members so that we do not lose staff members that we have invested in to other universities. I think, Chair, I have addressed all the questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Prof. Well, there you have a lot of questions to give you some sleepless nights for a while. All right, colleagues, thank you very much. I see we've got one more question on the chat. Prof, this is from Nokukanya Tembane, senior lecturer. In the presentation, you cited outstanding and unaddressed findings from previous audit reports. My question is, how would you address the perceived organizational cultural constraints that may be limiting the potential of academics and academic support staff at MUT? And what steps would you take to promote a more inclusive and innovative culture that doesn't stifle creativity? Well, I think there's another question. People are the most valuable assets, and even more so when we upskill them to the highest qualifications. What is your plans in taking care of people, for example, health and wellness? The mental health is on the increase amid the quadruple burden of disease. Right, so those are the two questions for you, Prof.
I may not have received the first question very well because we were too fast. But I must indicate that the mandate of the administrator with his team, it is to develop a five-year plan, to develop and then hand it over to the VC and the executive management or to the MUT community for implementation. And this comes at the right time when we are in the process of developing our new strategy. We did have a conversation as to how then we will dovetail the two so that there is no duplication. And we reached a consensus that we'll use the five-year development plan so as to inform the new strategy, the 2026 to 2031. So all the issues that have been raised by the person on the chat box will be addressed as we are in the process of developing a new strategy. And I must indicate that a DIPR, am I saying it correctly? Yes, has done a good job of doing an analysis of the four reports, including the CHE report that we received this year from our institutional audit. And colleagues, you believe you me, the recommendations or the findings from the assessors, they talk to the findings from the CHE. And that clearly indicates that there is a problem. That's why one of the questions that I included there is, why have we not implemented the recommendations from the assessors? And we already have a plan. We've already scheduled some engagements with EMC as well as the Senate so as to begin to craft the new strategy. But again, our new strategy should be informed by the recommendations that should address the recommendations that were raised by the four assessors. And then the issue on health and wellness, I understand that we now have an EAP at MUT. Yes, there is an EAP that looks after health and wellness of staff members. Colleagues, those that attended the launch of the Gender Forum, they would recall the speech that I made that the welfare of staff members are very close. At that point, I did not know even that I would apply for the VC's position, but I saw a gap when I did the desktop analysis of MUT. I identified that MUT did not have a gender forum, which is one of the critical structures that address the welfare besides the health and wellness of staff. It's part of that. So we successfully put together a constitution, and we successfully elected the EXCO, and there are exciting projects that we'll put in place that will also address the health and welfare of staff. Through gender forum activities, we will definitely address the health and wellness issues of staff. But I can confirm that we now have EAP at MUT. If you are not aware, please contact HR. But we now have a fully-fledged EAP. Thank you.
All right, Prof, one last question, Prof. We'll take this as the last, absolutely last question. What steps would you take to improve the administrative efficiency and effectiveness of the university? From Melvin Motua. That's the last question, colleagues. We're hard-pressed for time. What steps would you take to improve the administrative efficiency and effectiveness of the university?
Colleagues, I think I've addressed this one. That without, when looking at my short-term goals, I did indicate that I will focus on governance, systems, and processes. Because without those, without policies, we are in the process of reviewing even our organizational structure, which really requires some work to do. So if ever we address the governance systems and processes, we review we do organizational review, we will be able to ensure the efficiency, not only of the administrative, but also of the academic support and whatever. But the most important thing, it is to have systems in place. Thereafter, we need to fill up vacant positions so that we have people that are going to provide strategic direction. People who are appointed in substantive positions who will provide the strategic direction. Because the reason why we are not moving as expected, we're not growing as expected, it is because of leadership, lack of leadership, which has been picked up even by a DHET, as I had indicated, that our PQM, it's not receiving any attention until we have appointed the right people at MUT. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Prof. Thank you, colleagues, for those very, very important questions for Professor Sibiya. I'm now going to hand you over to Professor Van Staden, and he's going to make his closing comments and then officially close today's program. Prof. Van Staden, can you hear us? Prof. Van Staden, you are mute.
Hello, colleagues.
All right, we can hear you, Prof.
Yeah, you are not audible. I can't hear.
Prof, can you hear us?
Okay, thanks. I must say the presentation was from time to time not very audible. As far as I'm concerned, can I just get confirmation, Babu, that we completed the Q&A session? Audible. As far as I'm concerned, can I just get confirmation, Babu, that we...
Prof, yes, it's over to you to do the closing part.
From my side and on behalf of the panel... the selection panel, sincere word of appreciation for this entire session in the matured way that we could listen to our candidate, Professor Sibiya. So from my side, also to everybody that, again, that attended this session today, sincere appreciation for the fact that you could make time in your busy schedules to be with us. This is indeed an apex priority for the administrator and his team, meaning the appointment of a vice chancellor and principal for the Mangosuthu University of Technology. I can only thank the university for all the arrangements and the fact that all of you participated in a very constructive manner. Obviously, this appointment of a VC is key to the stability of the university. So therefore, the administrator and the selection panel will now embark on enrolling out the MUT rules. So we, what it means is further engagements in terms of the relevant policies, the statute will follow now, i.e. engagements with IF and Senate, and thereafter the panel will convene to make a decision regarding the appointment of an acting VC and principal for the university. I just would like again to say to all of you, Siyabonga, Kialibonga, Nkosi Kakhulu, Umuntu, Ngumuntu, Ngabantu, Amagahle.
Thanks, Prof.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.